From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So happy Sunday, everyone, and I hope you guys had an amazing weekend. I know the weather was a little bit off in New York City area, but hopefully you guys were still able to make the best of your weekend. So today we have an amazing show. We are going to be talking about sickle cell anemia. We have two amazing guests by the name of Romeo, who is a sickle cell warrior, and his mother, Beatrice, who are going to talk about what life is like living with sickle cell, as well as what it's like to be the parent of a child with sickle cell. So today we are not going to have our preliminaries because this conversation is so important. I wanted to make sure that I afforded enough time to have this important conversation so that we can truly raise awareness of sickle cell anemia in our community. Sickle cell is something that affects the Black community, and we don't talk about it enough. And we have so many of our brothers and sisters who live with sickle cell, and there are so many myths that need to be debunked. There's so many theories, there's so many ideas. And so we want to make sure that we talk about this. And even though next month, September, is the, I guess, the awareness month for sickle cell, we wanted to start now. We don't want to just wait for when the month takes place to start raising awareness on these important issues. We want to start as soon as we can. So just to give you guys a little bit of understanding of what sickle cell is, sickle cell is a red blood cell disorder. It is inherited. That means it's passed down by way of your parents, right? So the same way you get your eyes, your skin, your hair, these things are passed down by the parents, right? And so for a child to inherit sickle cell, both parents need to carry the gene for it. So you'll hear that referred to as the sickle cell trait. So sickle cell is not something you catch. It's not contagious. It's not something that, you know, if you are around somebody who has it, you're going to get, you're born with it, right? So essentially, healthy red blood cells are smooth, round, and bendable, so they can easily flow through blood vessels and carry oxygen to every part of your body. In sickle cell disease, red blood cells can change shape and form what is called a sickle or a crescent. So it's not shaped the same. And the cells become stiff and sticky, causing them to block blood flow and break down inside the blood vessel, right? So how does it affect the body? So this crescent moon-shaped sickle cell can catch on one another or stick to the blood vessel walls. When this happens, it is difficult for them to squeeze through the tiny blood vessels. And these sickle cells can create pileups, which may prevent your organs from getting the oxygen they need. And so that's when you hear people are going through crises. And that's the pain that they're feeling from the stiffness of these cells trying to squeeze through these, you know, these vessels, right? So there's so much information that's available, you know, out there, again, regarding sickle cell. And but unfortunately, because we're not raising enough awareness about it, we don't really know how we can help in the cause. We don't know how we can help those of us or those of who have sickle cell anemia. So, you know, the awareness needs to be more, not just on our part here at, you know, According to RP and all of the other platforms, but, you know, with each and every one of you. It's one of these things that we all need to take part in the education so that we can help our brothers and sisters. And so we are going to, you know, move on to the meat of the show, where you're going to hear young Romeo and his mother talk about living with sickle cell. And what I love about this interview is that they talk about what it's like, but you can hear the hope in Romeo's voice, and you can hear the encouragement that he has, the excitement, the encouragement that he has for those young individuals who are going through sickle cell. It's important that we encourage them, because there's so many statistics out there that show that people with sickle cell don't live long lives. They have a very short lifespan. And we see, though, thank God, through, you know, medications and technology, that people are living longer. They're having kids. They're having full lives. But I think the one thing that you guys will find from this interview is just that sense of hope and that sense of, you know, excitement for the future. So tune in to the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with some very special guests by the name of Romeo and Beatrice. Say hello, please.
Hello.
Hello.
So we are raising awareness for Sickle Cell Awareness Month, which is actually in September. Oftentimes, when we're talking about awareness months, people think about AIDS, they think about breast cancer, they think about all these other awarenesses. But as Black people, I think that sickle cell awareness is something that we should definitely be talking about, because it pretty much affects our community. And so today we have these two special guests, Beatrice and Romeo, who are going to talk about their journey with sickle cell. Beatrice is Romeo's mother. Romeo is 21 years old. And we're going to talk about the realities of sickle cell. And so I want to start with you, Beatrice, as the mother here, right?
Yes.
I want you to kind of talk to us a little bit about your journey through, you know, through motherhood. When did you find out that you were going to have a child with sickle cell? And then kind of like how the early years were for you.
Okay. It was a mother's instinct. I think when you become pregnant, you get in tune with your body and you get to, you know, figure out what's wrong or what's not wrong. So I thought something was wrong with Romeo because he was my second child. So I asked my doctor to do an amniotesis. And when she did that, results came back and he told me to come to the office, and they informed me that Romeo is going to be a sickler, which I didn't know at the time what was a sickler meant, but I did do genetic counseling. But, you know, when I found out that he was going to be a sickler, it kind of took a toll. Like I said, wow, what am I going to do? Because you hear the horror stories of having a child with sickle cell disease. It's hard, and their life expectancy is not long. So it kind of like took me aback, but I faced it, and, you know, and did what I had to do, ate healthy with him, and, you know, he came out normal. Yeah, he came out normal. And, I mean, with that, my early years with him, it was rough, very rough, because I didn't know the first signs of him having crises. And when you get into knowing it, you start to realize that they start to have children of 3 months can develop swelling pans that look like mitts, their feet swell, and their elbows swell, but that's the meaning of the blood is clotting within the veins. And then they can have acute chest syndrome, which is the clotting of the lungs, which Romeo had at 3 months, which was a very scary episode, very scary. And with that, I really had to take notice and start getting on my program and start doing my homework with these and starting to learn more about the effect and what's the lasting thing about what's going to happen, when do I know when he's going to be in crises, and, you know, just trying to navigate motherhood plus having another child, an older sibling. It was very hard. It was hard at first, very hard.
Okay. So now some people might wonder, well, how does one get sickle cell? So were you ever explained how Romeo got sickle cell? Like, you know, what does it mean when people say, well, how did you get it? Like,
yes, the thing was, my daughter, when you do the prenatal, the testing, when you come back from the hospital and do all the testing, the blood work, They sent me a letter stating that I need to go and get a genetic testing with my daughter. She came back with hemoglobin C, and I didn't know what was hemoglobin C about. I just know I had sickle cell trait. I didn't know that her father had hemoglobin C carry, which is a form of sickle cell trait.
Okay.
So the best thing you can do is find out if your partner has hemoglobin C or if that person is a sickle cell trait. And you go through genetic testing and genetic counseling, which is very important to do. So with that, they let me know, they informed me when I had Antoinette, which was her sister, his sister, that there would be a 25% chance that I'll have a child with sickle cell disease. And I'm like, okay, brushed it off like nothing. And, well, whatever, you know, because it was 75% you get out any more offsprings. And Romeo was the 25% chance that I got a sickle cell disease child. And that kind of took me aback. So it's best you get that testing done. Find out your blood work. Once you get pregnant or want to become pregnant, ask the doctor if you have a C carrier or you have sickle cell trait. Find out if your partner has that or find out about their lineage. Best to find out about their lineage.
Okay.
Have to find out about your grandmother's side, his grandmother's side, anybody's side of the family. You have to find that out. It's very important.
Okay. Now, for individuals who are not carrier, who do not have the trait, right? Like, so for myself, I do not have the sickle cell trait. If I were to, you know, have a partner who did have the sickle cell trait, does that mean that there's a chance that my child could have full-blown sickle cell, or is it just that they can get the trait?
No, they won't have full-blown sickle cell. They'll have trait. You'll either two or maybe, it all depends on how many percentage you children you have. You can have one child that can be a sickle cell trait, or you can have one child that don't have sickle cell.
Okay, so it's like a probability thing.
Yeah, it's a probability.
I see.
50-50, more or less leaning over to the side of probably not having the trait. But from what I was taught and from what the genetics counseling was telling us is that, you know, one child is going to have the trait. Some children might not have the trait. You can have four kids and none of the kids have the trait, you know, or you can have three children. One child can have the trait. It all depends.
Okay. So it's not necessarily an exact science, but that's why it's important for everybody to have the knowledge, right? To get the genetic testing done and ask the questions, right? No matter, I guess, what stage you are in this relationship, if there's any chance of possibly, you know, going to the level of having kids, then people should be having these conversations.
Yes, they should. It's very important. It's like high blood pressure. Everybody discuss high blood pressure amongst us Black people, and diabetes, sickle cell is also prominent in our race. So we have to at least discuss that. And there's also forms of different sickle cell, there's sickle cell thymuses, which is a little bit more severe than sickle cell disease. So there's like different forms of sickle cell. So you really have to have that conversation with your doctor if you plan on having children.
Okay.
It's very important. Very important.
Okay. So Romeo, I want to talk to you a little bit so you can move the mic over to you. You can speak directly into the mic.
Hello.
So just tell us a little bit about yourself, Romeo. Like, I know I already gave your age, but you know, how old are you? Where you're from? What do you like to do?
I'm from like nationality wise or like, I don't know why I'm kind of nervous. I kind of got the gym.
It's okay.
I'm talking actually.
It's okay.
Like podcasts a lot. Like I like to listen to them and like talk. So it's like my first time actually. I guess I'm so excited to talk.
I'm just
I don't know how to like let everything out, but I'm just gonna breathe it out.
Just take your time.
Hello everyone. I'm Romeo and I'm from Brooklyn. I'm from Crown Heights, like raised in Crown Heights. Grew up in Sheepshead Bay. What I like to do is I like to like exercise, work out. I like to like learn new stuff. I like to listen to music. I'm very like skilled in music. Like I like music. I like to make beats. I don't really know how to like do it fluently, but I still like to like try. I like to dabble in making music, you know, sometimes freestyle with my friends. I like to play basketball. you know, like regular like guy stuff.
Yeah.
I don't really play video games like that. I'm not really much a video game person.
No?
I just consume my time with like trying to like, I guess, learn and exercise and like figure out more of my body. Just figuring out more of my path, more so on like the way to adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's really what I've been up to.
Okay. So I want to know a little more about your journey, you know, as a young adult, right? With sickle cell. I know that, you know, I have friends who have sickle cell and I was with them, you know, in our younger adult lives, right? And there was a lot of restrictions and there's a lot of like FOMO that takes place because you don't want to, you know, that you have to maybe refrain from certain things, yeah, but you can't. And, you know, you're at an age where you want to just do what, you know, other kids are doing. So I guess talk to us about maybe the moment you realized that, oh, there is something different about me.
Okay, so the moment I realized there was something different about me, like health-wise, was, I remember I was younger and I always used to get told, don't overexert yourself. Like, I would have the sickness, the crisis, and would really overlook it because I'm still a kid. But it was one time, like, my mom took me and my cousins out to the park, and it was hot that day. So you have to stay hot. She was like, stay hydrated. So I was staying hydrated, but my cousins are older than me, so they going fast and like running and stuff. So it's like, I'm over here giving my like best and then mm-hmm. going hard, like using like all of my energy to like to really keep up with them and stuff like that. And then I realized like later after, like when it hits like midnight, you feel like a strong pulse, like a heartbeat, doom doom, and that's when you start feeling like it starts settling in, like the pain, like from what you was doing, it's like, yep, caught up to you now. And then it just starts to either like, I don't know, wherever like it decides to like really like fester,
mm-hmm.
like whether it decides to fester in like your lower back, your leg, the knees, or your hips, or like basically joints, mainly joints. It will like clog up, like the blood cells will clog up in your joints. Yeah. So the blood cells will clog up in your joints. So that's like when I realized, like, yeah. Like my mom was telling me, like, they're not telling you not to overexert yourself. Like, you know, like the regular mom stuff. Like, and I was like, yeah. And I learned my lesson then. And then it was just like going through that pain. It was just like, yeah, like you have to learn. Like, if you don't listen, you must feel. Like, you know. So I was going through that. What else? Like, just usually, like, during times, it would be nights, like, countless nights of, like, pain. Like, pain crises just coming through, like, coming in through the night. It comes through the night a lot. Like, I realized that, too, come to think of it. Like, it settles at night, or it settles, like, right in the break of dawn. Like, right in the break of dawn, you feel, like, that morning breeze.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it when you first wake up, like, in your body, and you just, before you even, like, reach, like, you know, your body, like, you're in your body from, like, coming from sleep, you feel, like, the pain right there circulating. It's like, and sometimes when there's so much pain, I know a lot of cyclists are going to agree, when you have so much pain, you stay up from like from the 5 p.m. from today to like 7 p.m. or 11 p.m. to the next day, like a.m. to the next day, until you like you get a treat or like or get something like a stimulant to like, you know, soothe the pain and calm yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
Like the pain will keep you up all night just thinking, crying, just trying to do remedies to like, you know, get rid, like, to, like, loosen or ease the pain. I would, like, usually, like, run hot water on my back or sometimes cold water. And I would just drink, like, try to drink a lot of water. But I really wasn't, like, being young, I wasn't really taught to, like, you know, drink a lot. Like, I would drink, like, 2 cups or a cup and think, that's all I need. You actually need, like, 8 cups.
Mm-hmm.
Like, more than 8 cups. But I'm just telling you 8 cups. Like, like, you really need, like, a lot of water. And a lot of oxygen too. I wasn't really like taught to be like to like really like breathe and mm-hmm. like breathe and feel the pain, breathe and feel. Like you just gotta like really like just like breathe.
Because
mm-hmm. usually like when you're feeling so much pain, you're trying to like stop it. Like you like everything just tightens up. Like you get like you feel like that. Like 20, like it's a constant. So it's like, golly, like when is it gonna stop? Like, yeah.
Did you find yourself in the hospital a lot? Because I know some, you know, some people who have sickle cell, like they're either in the hospital every other day, once a week, once a month. So, like, what was your frequency?
It was like, it honestly like decreased over like growing up for me.
Okay,
like, it decreased. So I would say like elementary school, I was in the hospital like every 2 months.
Oh, wow.
Like every 2 months. And I would be in there for a month. So I was missing like class, school. I got left back because I was missing too much school days in first grade. So I had to repeat the first grade again, do that. And plus, since I was missing out a lot of days, I wouldn't be caught up with like the classwork or what the class is at or what they're learning. So I had to like, you know, get extra learning too. So that actually brought me up to pace with them. And actually like helped me find more so of like my creative side, because I got to like my extra time of like learning, I got to be like, you know, be creative. And plus I had like, you know, black teachers. So they would actually like, you know, do more creative stuff. So like, whereas writing on a notebook, we wouldn't write on a notebook. We would write all our notes on like a swat pad, like a slate.
Okay.
So it would like feel like I'm drawing, honestly, so I could get my thoughts like freshly and clean, like on something. So like that, I would learn very, very like, fast like that. And growing up in middle school, I would be in the hospital like, I would say like every 3 months or like 4 months or like, yeah, every 3 or 4 months. But then that's when like it started like really like getting really rocky because my bones started deteriorating. And it's because like not a lot of oxygen was going circulating through my body. Basically, I would get into it later about what sickle cell, like what I found out with sickle cell is later. But basically, like not a lot of oxygen was getting through my hips. So I had to get hip surgery. So
oh, wow.
That like kept me out of like eighth grade for like a good like a month or two. Yeah, I had to actually got homeschooled in eighth grade too, actually. Mm-hmm. I got homeschooled. And high school, it started like literally going down. Like I was not in the hospital that much. It would be like 4 months, 5 months, like where I would not get into a pain crisis. Like I would get into pain crises, but then I would like have something at home to take care of it. You know, I started like dabbling to smoking. Like I got into marijuana and I realized like how that works. So I'm like against like, you know, the sickest having sickle cell, because that would like really like make my body just like feel calm and like take away the pain. So that's when like I'd say like it really like shortened. Whereas now I rarely go to the hospital.
Okay. When's the last time you went to the hospital?
I'll say last year.
Okay.
Yeah, last year, right?
Okay.
Last year.
So as you've gotten older, it's been like few and far between the hospital visits. So now as a young adult in your 20s, right? You just got here with your 20s. Right. How are you, you know, you're going to the hospital less, but how do you feel physically? Because I think, you know, some people want to kind of know, well, you know, was there like a lifestyle change that has kind of caused you to feel much better, that has caused you to kind of lessen your hospital visits?
Yes. So your question was the lifestyle change or like, okay. So my lifestyle change and how I am now and how I feel in my body, I feel so much in control, like so much in control. Like usually when I used to have like my crises or when I was young, I felt like out of control. I felt like there was no hope. Or like there was nothing I can do. Like I just gotta go along with what I was told with my body. It's like I didn't really know what to do, honestly. Like it felt like I was lost. Like plus, because I was not much so like I felt like I wasn't talented. I guess that was like, you know, growing up too, seeing like that. I don't know. I felt like I wasn't talented, me personally, because growing up, you see everybody else doing everything without, like, you know, any, like, fallbacks. Like, anytime I would try to do what they do or try to practice something, like, I would be, like, like, in pain. I'm about to, like, face it. And then, plus, I was more so, like, of a, like, an active person. I wasn't, like, a drawer. I wasn't a painter. I wasn't none of that stuff. Like, I wasn't really, like, that skilled at that. And then, plus, it was just, like, I wanted to do more stuff like with activities, more like physical activities. So like now that like I'm older, my lifestyle changed. What I changed was my eating habits. My eating habits changed like my like complete lifestyle, like completely. Like I stopped eating meat. I gradually stopped eating like, you know, chicken and stuff like that, and fish, and then shrimp, and then all of that. And then I started to realize like how like the effects like have on my body. And like, you know, I grasp and experiment with my body too. And I realized what really caused like my body to like, but my body doesn't reject, but my body rejects basically. Like, my body is basically rejecting it. So when it's rejecting something, it causes like pain. And I will always realize too, like, during the sequence of like the pain, it's a chance to grow. It's always a chance to grow. Like, it's always a chance to grow and literally look inside. Like, every pain crisis, like, I feel like every sick, like, I could tell you that every sick pain crisis we had, we like learned from it. Like, there was something that we learned, like a character development or body development. It was, or spiritual development. It was like very, it's very like, I don't know, like the process of it is just very like strengthening, like very like empowering too, honestly. And it gives like a chance to take back control of your life, to take back control over your body and like command your own cells to like relax. Like, I do this for you. And so once you realize that, you realize that your cells do also do things for you, and you start to learn that the cells are don't like certain stuff. So you can't give your cells the stuff that it doesn't want. Your cells want oxygen. That's what they really, really want. I realized that in foods, it's not a lot of oxygen in animal meat because there's oxygen in, like, you're basically cooking oxygen out. So that, or any other thing, like any like something dead, I guess I can't really like eat because my body would like get feel away, or I would feel like too like heavy, like I would feel like down, like, or weighed, very weighed down, or like leading up to the process. Like, it's like a balance, like in my body, like where I need. Because I remember, like, I haven't ate meat since last year, and I tried eating meat, like a turkey. Like, I tried to eat turkey like in March, not even March, it was May. And that whole week I was like bedridden. Like, I my legs was tired. Like, they were gone. Like, my hips was gone. Like, I was like, yup, this is why I don't eat meat.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
So I think that's a very important thing to know your body, right? Mm-hmm. To know what your body needs, to know, how certain things affect your body. Mm-hmm. And it's something that you said that's very powerful, this idea that, you have control over your body. And I find that a lot of my friends who have sickle cell, like, that was like something that they felt defeated at, right? Mm-hmm. That they'd had no power at any point. They can end up in the hospital. At any point, they're having fun. Mm-hmm. And, the fun gets snatched away from them because now they're in crisis. And so they kind of were living in this state of, I have no control, And so they were a slave to the disease almost. But I think that, what you're describing, the lifestyle change, right? Taking the initiative to change your life for the better so that you could prolong your life. Mm-hmm. I think that's very powerful. And hopefully people who are listening who either have sickle cell or those who have sickle cell, individuals in their families can hopefully motivate them with that. Right. Because I think that piece, knowing that you can, in a sense, control the narrative of your body is important.
That's like, it really is, like, it's very, very empowering, because I resonate with that, like what you had said with the whole, like, the fun gets snatched. Like, I remember, like, my teens, like 19, like 18, like, I would still, like, I would kind of, I would drink like liquor, like, like, we're young, so I would drink liquor. And then I would realize I don't get hangovers, but I don't get hangovers, the body feels it. So the body starts, like, it would be like somebody's like banging, like chiseling and stoning your knees or chiseling stone in your back. It would feel all types of crazy. Like, it would feel like literally like, oh man, like, I should have never did that. Or like, you're out with your friends, like, spending the night out somewhere, and then like you doing stuff like drinking or like, roughhousing or overexerting yourself, not really like paying attention to your body. It starts to like really like your body demands, like it starts to demand like you focus on it to like relax, chill, and like, heal me. Like, I need to heal. Like, it's time to like heal. Like,
so now you mentioned friends, and we mentioned friends, I guess, all throughout. Growing up, I mean, did your friends, your classmate, your peers understand what you were going through? Did you feel like there were times where, did you ever get bullied? Did you ever get name called, from friends who just didn't understand, like, what was going on with you?
Not really. My friends were always there for me.
Okay.
And honestly, like, I wouldn't think of it as bullying, but I remember when I did break my leg, like due to like having sick, like due to like, well, due to like the leading events of like what happened, because I broke my leg because I had to get the hip surgery. Mm-hmm. And then I got the hip surgery. I didn't let it heal too fast because I'm so eager to have fun and eager to play with my friends. I started running and got off my crutches too fast. And I actually broke my leg while running.
Wow.
And, you know, like after that, people thought it was jokes and stuff like that and thought I was joking. I was serious. I was hurt. That time, like, it hurt it because people laughed and thought I was joking, but I was so serious. And then, like, one of my other friends, she would call me scoliosis. And it would be funny. It would be funny. Like, I wouldn't take it in a way because I would have, like, a joke back for her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, like, it would be, like, little name. That was just the only name calling, but it wouldn't relate to that.
Okay.
It was just, like, a little funny.
Okay. That's good because I know sometimes people have like the opposite story in which that caused them to kind of be like one of my friends. She's very snappy and always is, you know, ready with a response because when she was growing up, it's like she was really, really thin. And then like, you know, she had like her yellow eyes. And so like, unfortunately, like some of the classmates or whatever always had something to say. So she was always very, very ready to pounce on someone. So, but that's good. For, you know, young kids who have sickle cell, right, and who are trying to navigate life and, you know, wanting to still feel like they have, like, a voice in a sense, right, when it comes to, like, their own body and their own life and how they can move forward, what are some things that you would say to them? Like, what's some advice that you can, you know, give these young kids who are going through exactly what you're still going through, right? But that need that encouragement, right? Because they probably don't have somebody who can say, like, listen, I'm a living testimony. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about, and I'm still here. Mm-hmm. So what type of encouragement would you give to these kids?
I have so much encouragement for y'all. Oh, my God. I love y'all, and I value y'all, because I know we can all resonate on the same thing. Oh, my God. There's so much we can agree on. Okay, so my type of encouragement first is there's always hope. There's, like, and the doctors tell you, like, you can't do this, you can't do that. And they try to tell you, oh, this person, that's them. I'm sorry to, like, you know, say it like that, but that's them. You are your own person and you are different. Your story is completely different and completely different from mine's. So you are going to be greater. I'm going to be great than them. And you're going to be greater than me. Of course, we all always know that. Understand that. A way to heal. Learn how to heal. Learn what your body wants. Learn what your body likes. Like, learn what fruits and what vegetables have oxygen. It's always okay to dabble in meat or so, because I wouldn't say don't eat meat, whatever the case may be, because people like to eat meat. People are going to do whatever they want to do. But try to have a balance, a homeostasis balance in your body, basically, meaning to cleanse your system. Always cleanse your system and always move your body. If you're putting in toxins in your body, always move your body. Always move it. Because when you move it, you cleanse it out, and then you feel the pain, and then it's going to be even lesser and lesser and lesser. The pains get lesser. You get more durable, basically, to the pain. Like, the pain, it's to the point where the pain feels like it's not even there. Like, you become, like, very, it's, like, an easy thing to take care of. Like a calm, like wash, a shower, but like remove it, like the pain instantly. Focus on your adrenal glands. Your adrenal glands is what is the cause of sickle cell. That is what we don't know in the family. Like, the family, when I say family, I mean the entire Black community, because we are a big, giant family. The adrenal glands produce oxygen throughout the system and through your kidneys. Your kidneys and your adrenal glands are what is the cause for your sickle cell. It's because you're overusing your oxygen. You're overusing your adrenal glands, so they get overused. When they get overused, your body is demanding oxygen. It's demanding, like, you know, resources. So since your body's overusing that, it pulls whatever you have in your stomach out. So whatever you have in your stomach, so if you have meat, like cooked meat, doesn't have oxygen in it. Oxygen is in blood. So what's in the blood of the meat, right? You're cooking the meat out, the blood out the meat. So you're not getting no oxygen in your body when you eat it. So always put something that has oxygen in your body so you can absorb it. And not, I'm not mean just a bottle of water. You need like 8 bottles of water, or 8, like a lot. It's like a lot of oxygen you need, because that is what is the real fuel and the real source of what is missing in our bodies is oxygen. And when you realize that, you just got the power. you know. And always look in your mind when you're going through your pain crises. Always understand. Always think. Don't think. Don't ever give up. Never give up. Don't think that it shouldn't be you. Because growing up, I thought, always asked, why me? Why me? Why not me? And then you realize, I got the power. Like, I'm the power. Like, really. Like, you really realize, like, it gives you, like, the courage and the strength. Like, you realize that this comes with a power. Like, power comes with, what's that saying?
With responsibility?
Yeah, basically.
With responsibility?
With great power comes great responsibility. Yes. Basically, that's the whole thing inside of you. And it's not, I know it sounds a little cheesy, but it's really serious. Like, you have great power. Like, great power beyond.
And I think that's important. Mm-hmm. That's important because, you know, whenever we would hear about, you know, celebrities or whatnot that have sickle cell, like the one thing that's always associated with that is the lifespan, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're not going to live a long life, you know? And, you know, my friends are like about to be 40 soon and they have kids. And that's the idea that, you know, that the narrative that's shared that, you know, you can't have a full life. You can't have kids, or they tell you not to have kids because it could, you know, maybe activate something and maybe cause, you know, an early death. But we're seeing more and more people, you know, outliving, you know, the doctors, you know, life expectancy and having kids and actually being productive, you know, members of society. So it's beautiful to see. And I think that, you know, as, you know, we continue to raise awareness, right, for this disease, that more and more children and even adults who might still feel like they're in a rut, you know, they might still be asking themselves why them, will be able to see that, you know, that you know, things happen for a reason, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, and that there is this type of power in that, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know why things happen, but, you know, to make the most of your life, right? Mm-hmm. And so hopefully they can, you know, empower themselves through that. And I think that those of us who, you know, who are not, you know, do not have sickle cell, right? Mm-hmm. We can continue to help find different ways to highlight this disease so that, you know, there could be research where maybe there can one day be some sort of cure, right? Mm-hmm. For this, I wanted to kind of switch back to your mom just to talk about maybe what are some pointers or what are some words of encouragement for parents, right, who find themselves being the parents of a child with sickle cell. You know, I know that it's very, we talked about how difficult it is and the different trials and tribulations that, you know, the child will go through, especially leading into adulthood. But, you know, being a mama bear, always wanting to protect your child, wanting to make, you know, when they hurt, you hurt. You know, what can you advise to parents who have just found out that I'm about to have a kid with sickle cell, or they've been dealing with it, but they need encouragement so that they don't drop the ball either?
Learn. The best thing to do is learn. Advocate for your child and read and research every aspect about the disease, because some of these doctors don't know about sickle cell. They don't. And you need, and they'll say this and that, but you learn and you be a positive person in your child's life. Don't falter. You must learn. Education. Educate yourself as a parent. Get the father involved. Get grandma involved. Get your aunt, your sister. Get everybody involved to advocate for your child. Mm-hmm. Don't let a doctor tell you this is how it's got to be. You question what's this and that. Don't sleep on anything that they tell you. That don't take it for the norm. Because, like I said, you have to have a doctor that's advocating for you. Get a doctor that knows about sickle cell. And when you do go to the hospital and you do hear these doctors talk, get that doctor that you know that's going to advocate for your child also. Mm-hmm. So the best thing is for you to learn. Never take things for granted and keep always ahead and know your child's blood work, know your child's symptoms, know when that child is getting ready to have a crisis. Observe your child. You know, it's the best thing for you to do is observe your child when you feel that child is going to go through a crisis, and you'll know how to handle it instead of you being scared or frightened. Don't ever be frightened. It's a scary situation. I had to learn a lot. It took me a while. It was scary. It's not an easy thing. It is very scary. But once you learn and once you be aware and get the terminology, get the knowledge of it, you would be on top of these doctors like white on rice. And they can't tell you nothing about your child that you don't know about your child. Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't take things for granted that the doctor know more than you. There's always a second opinion. Always a second opinion. And make sure you advocate for your child. Because there's lots of resources that a lot of people don't know when you do have a child. Get involved with your child's schooling. Get involved with, let the teachers know. And like my son said, I didn't know, don't inhibit your child's growth. Just because he has sickle cell does not mean he's handicapped. Mm-hmm. That's the knowledge you have to know. He's not handicapped. He or she is not handicapped. They might not be able to play certain games, but they can play. And you just be aware of it and make sure that they don't overexert themselves. And you just be aware. Just be knowledgeable. That's the best thing I can say. Any parent with a child that has sickle cell or going to become a parent with a sickle cell child, read. Read. That's what you need to do, and always advocate for your child. Don't take things for granted that this is what it's going to be and this is how I got to live. No. Don't live in a bubble. Mm-hmm. Come out that corner. Let your child be a child. That's one thing. And have a doctor that's going to advocate for your child. Advice for any parent.
I like how you talk about the community aspect, you know, with, you know, get your aunt, get your mom, get your sister, because I'm just thinking, you know, as your child was going through crises, you're a working mom, right?
Yes, you're working, yes.
You know, so it's like, you know, who, you know, what did it look like in a sense, you know, to be, to have to report to work or to have to, you know, these responsibilities?
It was hard. And I've lost a couple of few jobs, but it was hard. But I can say my mother was my best advocate. My mother, you know, she's not no longer here. But my mother was there, and she gave me the best advice. She says, you know, jobs come and go, but that child does not. You only have that child. And the best thing you could do is be there for that child. Even if the child, you can have a $20,000 job, $500,000 job, and do all this kind of stuff. But that one child you have to advocate for that child. And she let me know that you only have one, that child you have. Jobs come and go. And when I realized that I was there because I was like leaving my mom there, and she was like, I don't know, you know, but she was getting her knowledge and stuff. But I said, when she said that to me, I had to be more, that's what made me triggered to find out more about this disease and more about what they're doing to him and more about me handling it, you know, aggressively, like, let's do this. What are you doing to asking questions. Don't be afraid to ask questions. If you feel something is not right, and it's a mother's instinct, no matter if it's your first child, second child, third child, it's an instinct you have as a mother, a gut instinct. You ask. Don't hold back. You ask. And I thank my mom. My sister was available. You know, I had family backup. I did. I had friends, cousins. You know, my friends would come, and I had a community which was there for me. You know, like he said, his friends were there. Sometimes we would go to the hospital and I would have to leave because he had a whole room full of friends. You know? So it's the best thing, you know, don't have your child be excluded out of anything.
Yeah.
The best thing is to have family and have a community that understands what you're going through and be supportive. and pray. That's my advice.
You know? Okay. Now, I guess this last question will go to the both of you. Well, maybe not the last question. I always find something else to say. But with respect to resources, right, we always talk about lack of resources. Now, we know that there's a lack of awareness when it comes to sickle cell. But with respect to resources, what kind of resources would you imagine, you know, needs to be disseminated and shared or created for people in our community? I know one thing that comes to the mind is just that support system when you have a child that has sickle cell and you have to keep a job or you're in school and maybe you don't have the mom and the sister. You know, what kind of communities, you know, can be, you know, created to support parents that, you know, that have children with sickle cell? But in terms of like maybe resources, is there anything that you wish that you had available to you when you're still again going through this, but when your child was much younger and was going through a lot more crises, is there anything that you would have wished was available to you that could have helped the process?
Let me see. Well, when I was going through it with my son, they had a social worker with the clinic.
Okay.
So the best thing is for you, once you start going through the process, get involved with a social worker. Social workers should be knowledgeable of trying to help you within your community, because most communities don't have that for us.
Mm-hmm. You know?
They do, but you have to search for that. And the thing is that you can be an advocate in your own community and start something out mm-hmm. with a congressperson or somebody who that's in your district, somebody in a district or something like that. Because when I was living in Crown Heights, we do have a sickle cell program that's on St. John's
mm-hmm.
that does affiliate with that. You know, you can go to them, try to go online and see which is available. There's a lot. Social work. The best thing for you to do is get involved with your social worker. There is a social worker that's within the hospital that can help you with the community.
Did they provide, you know, like any type of like counseling services in terms of like therapy, like, mental health counseling?
They did. I felt that I didn't need it because I was one of them type of parents that asked questions. You know, if you're that type of person that's scary and leery and you need a little bit more vocal, that social worker can help you. Or that person, try make sure that social worker helps you, not just to brush you off because mm-hmm. they don't know about this. Find somebody that's going to know about the disease, because a lot of doctors don't know, a lot of social workers don't know. But that's why I liked Methodist. I can say Brooklyn Methodist was a hospital that was in tune
mm-hmm.
with patients that have sickle cell. There's also, I think, Brooklyn Hospital also is in tune. Find a hospital that's in tune with what your child have. It might be a distance for you, but you do get that. My issue is, I think, with the ambulance service. I think patients that have sickle cell should have some form of coverage or even some form of help, like taxi or even some form
I
of
see.
Vehicle
like, I have some, okay.
to get that patient to their hospital, because most of the time, if you don't have a vehicle and you have to use the ambulance will take you to the nearest hospital. Now, that's not the hospital that your child is affiliated with.
I see.
That's the big issue with me. If they can have a program where you can have accessor rides or some form of ambulance service that can help patients to get the parents get their child to the hospital that they need
mm-hmm.
or the hospital that's aware.
Yeah.
And my big issue is with hospitals, that if you go to one hospital, they can contact that doctor for that doctor can help make sure that they can help that doctor know your illness,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's hard. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's very hard because, you know, that's one thing I would like, that they have a little bit more advocacy in the transportation mode when your child is sick and you might not have that car. Or you don't have the cab fare to get your child. You have to ride a subway or a mm-hmm. bus to get that sick child to a hospital. I would like something as a transportation that's the hardest. That's one thing I want, is something where they have a transportation mode where you can call a number and they'll get a cab or even an Uber driver or somebody to get you to the hospital with no charge. And your coverage would cover that, mm-hmm. you know, because it's hard. It's hard. And plus, if you're a single parent, you don't have those means, you know, and you have to get that child there. That's one thing I do want to advocate about, is the transportation to get mm-hmm. you that child to the hospital. I mean, we don't have that. Okay. They just take you, they take the ambulance and take you to the nearest hospital and call it. Then you have to wait for the doctor to transport you to the next hospital mm-hmm. where the child is known to be there. That's one thing I don't like. Okay. That was very hard. So that's one thing that I had to go through. And I know a lot of parents probably had to go through that too. You know, still going through it because we don't have that transportation mode mm-hmm. for advocate where we can get to and fro to the hospital without no problems.
Romeo?
I'd say we would need more resources from on a sickler side. I would say, but what mom said was really facts. Like, we definitely need, like, cars and, like, stuff like that. Like, support, like, vehicles, transportation to, like, the hospital. Because riding in subways and MTA transportation when you're sick, it's like trying to carry a dead body to, mm-hmm. like, so across the map, like, it really is. Like, I know I was, like, heavy for my mom to try to carry me.
Yeah, because, like, your body's, you know, tight, yeah, right?
My body's tight, and it's just, like, or I'm limping, be walking, like, extremely slow. So, yeah, definitely transportation. I say more education and more awareness. Once you get the awareness of it, educate yourself on it, on what it truly is, like, on what it, like, what's truly the core thing to it as education. And then lastly is dietitian fact. I'd say the dietitian is, like, the first thing. Like, that should be the first thing out of the three for me, is the dietitian, because the dietitian is so key. Like, brothers and sisters, y'all'd be on a hospital bed. I'd be on a hospital bed eating meat and stuff like that, not even knowing that I'm suffocating my cells. And then I'm over there, feel more pain, thinking it's more like crisis. And then I get more, you know, morphine. Everybody knows morphine does not take away the pain at all. It's like literally a 5-minute like high, mm-hmm. and then the pain come back in full fledged effect with like 10 times more pain because you just did that. And that, the taking the morphine just upset your body even more. So it's like stuff like that. It's literally like key. Like, the education part is definitely second. Like, the dietitian part is first, and the education is second, because once you educate yourself on what the medicines is that they give you, you start to realize that these same medicines that they've given us is the same ones that's putting me back here and bringing me back here and deteriorating my body even more. And making me even more reliant and dependent on it. Mm-hmm. Once you realize that, then you start to seek better medication. You start to seek better healing ways. You start to seek what really healing is. It leads you to a chain reaction of, like, literally self-taught. Basically self-taught. What's the word? I don't know. Self-taught nursing, basically. Mm-hmm. Self-taught nursing and self-taught healing. And it leads you to knowing how to, like, doctor yourself and nurse yourself at home without needing any external help, unless it gets really severe, because I know some of the SS people get it severe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what are some ways you are raising awareness as a sickle cell warrior? As my friend calls herself a sickle cell warrior, so I started using mm-hmm. that term. But as a sickle cell warrior, right, mm-hmm. a survivor, how are you raising awareness within the community?
I'm raising awareness within the community by trying to go live on my Instagrams. I'll be going live on my Instagrams, explaining and trying to break down what really is in the food industry. Like, I go hard at the food industry. Like, mm-hmm. some people would not even like to hear it because it's like, come on, you just ruined my appetite type thing. Like, I go hard at the food industry because the food industry is really what's causing my people to, like, be unaware to the fact that, like, what's causing the true illnesses, like, what's the leading cause. So, like, with high blood pressure too, like, it's the dietary, like, fact, because our diets are passed down through generations. You know, people like to culture foods mm-hmm. and soul foods, like, you know, we cook it all the time, like, it's passed down. So it's like, literally, you're handing your kids sickness, you're handing your kids illnesses, and in your body, you have illnesses in your body, and then you get, you know, you have with child, you passing on illnesses to your child, like informational illnesses to your child. So your child is prone to have illnesses. And so you feed in the same illness that you just fed yourself to your child that's prone to illness. And now he has an illness. And then it just causes a chain reaction in the body, which the body does not like. And it starts to, like, you know, try to heal itself, because your body naturally heals itself. Like, it naturally heals itself. Like, you don't need any outside facts, any outside artifacts other than herbs. That is herbs help, fruits help, and vegetables help.
And water.
And water. All right. So definitely I'd be trying to raise awareness to the, whatchamacallit, to the food industry.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to raise awareness to the spiritual side aspect, and then the mind. Like, the mind is the most valuable thing ever, especially for us sicklers, because we're always in our minds trying to relax our bodies. So the mind is really, like, key. Like, I always go hard at the mind and
the food industry. So what's your Instagram?
Ooh, my Instagram is McCosmic Man.
If you could spell that for the people.
McCosmo. It cosmic. I misspelled my own name. McCosmican.
Okay, so that's you on Instagram. So if we want to see these lives going against, you know, the food industry and talking about mindfulness and things like that, that's who we need to follow.
Also, another thing, I also talk about the environment. The environment plays a big, major role. That's just all. So if y'all look at my Insta, y'all see, like, what I talk about, like, on the environment.
Okay. And it's true. Environmental factors are definitely a thing, right? I think a lot of times when we get sick, we're not really sure why, but it's actually because of the environments that we're in. That's why you have some kids, like, that have asthma. They go to, like, whatever the camps are that takes them out of the cities, and they're in nature, and, you know, and then, like, it's like a different child, right? They're not experiencing, like, some of these ailments. So I definitely think that, and some, you know, people can say environment in terms of, like, you know, nature or whatever, but then there's, like, environment in terms of maybe, like, you know, the toxic environment in terms of your mental as well too, right? So I think that that's something that when we're talking about healing ourselves, which is something that, you know, you're passionate about, it's the food intake, but it's also, like, that mental balance, right? That mental awareness,
that mental healing, the mental everything.
Yeah,
everything. The environment is so, like, but that's what you got to clean up before you even clean up your, like, outside environment, like your room. Like, and then once you clean up outside your room, you declutter your mind. Everything is just like a breath of fresh air, like really a breath of fresh air. And come into acceptance with a lot of stuff in your environment, in your mind, and realizing if there's some things you can change, never try to focus on what you can't control or can't change. Always focus on what you can change and what you can't control. Because the anger in your mind is going to cause your adrenals to get overworked, and then you're going to get sick. Always. Always remember that.
And I think that that's even just a quote for everybody, right? Even if you're not a sickler, right? Because when you think about it, it's true. You know, a lot of times we bring upon illness on ourselves, and it's because of the, you know, the fact that we let the world get to us, and we try to, you know, think that we could change things, and we get upset when things don't go our way, and that causes us to, you know, go through all of this. So I think that that's definitely wise advice.
That's a fact for, like, everybody. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this was a really informative conversation. I think that it's the first of many. We definitely want to have a couple other, you know, sicklers, I guess is what you guys call yourselves. I don't want to, you know, I'm like, I know that I'm, you know, can I say that? It's one of those things, like, if you're not part of the group, can you also, can you use that term? But sickle cell warriors, to really bring awareness and to try to see if we can continue to do this throughout the year, right? So not just in anticipation of the month, but since it's something that affects African Americans, right? Black people, that we should definitely, you know, have some sort of, you know, push for that, some sort of push for the awareness. Because it's something that I think that over time, it's everybody's like, yeah, you know, I know about sickle cell. Somebody in my family has it, but that's really the extent, you know, and it kind of stays there. Like, we're aware of it, but that we don't really know what it is. We don't really understand what life is for some individuals who are sickle cell warriors, the day to day. And then, you know, not knowing creates this thing where it's like, well, we're not able to support, right? We're not able to share because we don't know what we don't know. So I think it's important to continue to have these talks. So I really appreciate you, Romeo, and your mother for being here.
We appreciate you for having us here. Yeah. Oh. It's really a pleasure. It's our pleasure. Like,
definitely. Yeah. And I definitely want to get you guys back in because I remember, I think Clay was showing me something about a logo. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is there a logo you're working on or something like that?
Yes, yes,
so
yes.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I know that things are probably in the works. So whenever they get in the works, I want you to come back and talk about what you're working on.
Okay.
And then if there's anything that, you know, we can do in the future with respect to helping you raise awareness, mm-hmm. we're definitely on board for that because we, you know, it's something that's important. It definitely will affect our community. And if there's a way that we can, you know, prevent, right, or raise awareness, raise money for research, that's definitely something that we want to do. Now, is there a premier organization that's raising, you know, money for research that we should all know about?
Honestly, don't know.
Because I don't know if I mean, I'm sure that there's something, but you know, usually people think about American Cancer Society.
I honestly don't think so. And me personally, I really don't even know if they are.
Yeah, I mean, like I said,
I know they were. There was one
on St. John's.
Mm-hmm.
As a program, sickle cell.
But they were talking about some bone marrow transplant.
Ah, I see.
And doing all of that is like, that's so like, I don't know, like, it's, I don't know how to say it. Like, it's not, like, it's kind of like, what is that for when you have, like, it's, like, totally something different. Mm-hmm. You're pointing at something else. Like, you're going in something else. Like, you're just ignoring the fact that my kidneys and my adrenals over here is overexerting themselves and just need oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
You go into my bones. Like, why is that? Like...
So maybe if there was an organization that was kind of maybe focusing on just the overall, I don't know, the overall health or the overall, you know, sickle cell warriors, you know, composition, maybe that would be. So not just a bone marrow, but maybe about healthy eating. Like you said, providing dietitian services, providing mental health services, maybe something like that.
Mental health services is very needed. That.
I haven't really heard anything.
Mm-hmm.
About it, because it's like it's a silent disease. It's a disease that doesn't come out more except when it's on the month.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be voiced out a little bit more, so a lot of people would know about it.
Yeah, and this is one of the first steps, right? Being able to share this on a platform so that people can hear, you know, like what the day in the life of not just somebody who is a sickle cell warrior is like, but also, you know, the mother that brought them into this earth and what, or even, you know, if there's, you know, maybe we'll bring in some fathers to talk about what their experiences are, but just the fact that, you know, you have the parent perspective and the, you know, the, I don't want to call you a child, you're not a child, but.
I'm still the child.
Okay. Well, your word's not mine. So, the child's perspective, right, of what it's like. So thank you so much for taking the time to be here today. And again, like I said, we are definitely open to, you know, finding different ways to raise awareness for this cause.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So thank you, everyone, for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I will talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.